Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our risen and victorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Margaret and Eric Corey, family and friends of Roger Thomas Simmons. The psalmist writes these words, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." I discovered this last week that Roger knew a lot more about rocks than I thought he did. In fact, he grew up in a family where his father was a rock hound, and that love for rocks rubbed off on little Roger, and as time went on, he made a lifetime commitment to rocks. In fact, I understand the basement's full of them. But the reality is he loved to hunt rocks. He loved to collect rocks, he loved to trade rocks, but he most especially, I think, liked to sell rocks. Roger could tell you where a rock came from, how that rock was made, and he could probably even tell you a little bit more about what kind of rock it was, the name of it, and everything. In fact, over the years, he made a living with rocks in one shape or form. He was got a certificate from the Gemological, didn't pronounce it right, but the Institute of America, they're the rock people. Later on, he owned his own jewelry store, where he incorporated rocks into jewelry as well. And then he managed J.C. Penney's jewelry department, and then he knew a few things about rocks, that's what I'm trying to say. But see, the difference between Roger Simmons and most people, probably including you and me, when he looked at a rock, he knew the difference between what is it called? It's a blue agate from Nebraska, or gem for Nebraska. I didn't know we had one. We have a gem in Nebraska. I found that out. I was Googling this week, so thank you, Roger. He knew the difference between that and the rocks that are in your driveway. Roger could look at a raw stone and be able to look beyond all the rough edges and all that crusty exterior, and he could tell you whether it was valuable or not. He could even take that rock and he could put it into a tumbler if he'd so choose and allow time to take its effect as that tumbler curled and swirled. And it would take off that rusty exterior, exposing a beautiful stone underneath. It is amazing. And then it was polished and all those things. And then ultimately, I suppose a person could sell it if it wasn't too beautiful to do so. But see, Roger knew all about that. But Roger also knew about his rough edges. He also knew about his crusty exterior, known as sin. And I've been his pastor for the last 15 years. And he would come to church every Sunday and he would stand with everyone else when we began to confess our sins and say those words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess you all my sins and iniquities, all of my rough edges and all of my crusty exterior, which I've offended you, Lord. You see, I willingly admit that, and I know I deserve your temporal and eternal punishment as a result." Roger not only knew his sin, but he also knew the consequences. For the Bible is crystal clear, the wages of sin is death. And he had no illusions about being able to somehow subvert death or find his way around it. He knew that ultimately death's sullen stream would rise and wash him away. You know, but as we gather here today, on this side of glory, we can look at Roger's urn and maybe even think to ourselves, you know what, Pastor? I think I am somehow better than that. You know, you're rubbing a little thick when you say, poor, miserable sinner deserving death. I think I live a pretty good life. I don't think that's exactly what I deserve. And you can put an eye towards Roger and says, yeah, he probably did, but not me. And as I began to comb through the Bible looking for those illustrations that dealt with rocks, I found a great one for this. You remember when the Pharisees and the scribes brought that woman caught in adultery before Jesus? And they said, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in an act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such women. So what do you say?" Well, Jesus knew they only asked a question to kind of lead him into a corner so they could trap him and have reason to crucify him. But Jesus was smarter than that. He bent down and began to write in the dirt. And they continued and they asked him. And when Jesus finally stood up and looked at him and says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And then he bent down once more and continued to doodle in the dirt. And our text tells us that they began to drop their rocks from the oldest to the youngest, and they walked away until no one was left. And Jesus stood up, and only the woman was there. He says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. The moral of that whole exchange is that there is no one who is righteous save Jesus. All of us deserve this. We can try to avoid it and prolong it, but sooner or later, it catches up with us all. If you took a really hard look into the mirror of God's law, you will quickly see your own rough edges, your own crusty exteriors. We like to call them maybe our shortcomings. But the difference between sinful people like you and me and Jesus is that Jesus can look beyond that crusty exterior and those rough edges and see some beauty that lies beneath all of our sin. Even with all of his rough edges and all of that crusty exterior, Jesus saw a precious treasure within Roger from the very moment of his conception. Now, Monday, when I met with Margaret and Corey and Eric, I asked them to give me an adjective that described Roger, and they chose the one dedicated. And I believe it was Corey that said that his dad was dedicated to the community that we live in. He was all about community service. I should have known better to take my pen and paper in there, because then I should have taken the tape recorder, because then they started laying out all the organizations that he's a part of, and I was scribbling as fast as I could, and I only got a few of them, and I saw more even in the obituary for today. But he sat on the board and was the chairman, president of the Simmons, Sotillo Cemetery Board. He was a longtime active member of the Lincoln Optimist Club, and he played a really big role, I understand, in the fields down off of Highway 77 when that original project took place. He was a scoutmaster right here at Emmanuel. I believe it was Troop Number 5 that was here for a lot of years until they were, I guess, kicked out. But the bottom line was is that he was a scoutmaster and spent a lot of time. And having been involved in scouts, it's a lot of work. It ain't no pay. He also volunteered for years on the Lancaster County polling station. He worked for the Census Bureau during the year 2000. And I understand he established and chaired the South Street Business Association. At least they held meetings, and if not for him, that wouldn't have happened. Not to mention here at Emmanuel, I think he filled every conceivable board or committee position within our congregation during his lifelong membership here at Emmanuel after he left Calvary. I think it's over the years, it's safe to say that Roger had sacrificed a ton of his life in service and dedication to his friends and his family, and especially to his congregation and to the community of Lincoln. As I read through all that, I began to think to myself, that's a lot of time. Just one of those organizations takes a lot of time. There's meetings to go to. You sacrifice a lot of stuff. And I began to say, like, who honestly wants to do that? You know, we only have so many days and hours in our lifetime. Who wants to sacrifice to do that? Roger did. And I began to ask myself, but why? Because he enjoyed it, for one thing, but I think more importantly because he not only loved his congregation and our community, but he loved you. I think for Roger, he saw the need that was there, and it was his love that prompted him to do everything he could to satisfy it. However, Roger's dedication only is a dim reflection of the dedication that Jesus Christ had for Roger. As I said, with all of his rough edges and all of his crusty exterior, Jesus was dedicated to redeeming him, to washing those sins away. You know, Jesus Christ is a stone too, right? He's the stone that the builders rejected. And he became the cornerstone of Roger's life of faith. You know, the one for whom so many within our sinful, fallen world would see as completely and utterly worthless, dedicated himself to buying Roger back from sin, death, and ultimately the grave. You know, Jesus' dedication to Roger didn't wane upon the cross. When the nails were driven, the insults were hurled, the spit was leveled, Jesus hung upon the cross and took the pain and the agony of the cross to buy him back. He could have called in legions of angels. But the dedication of Jesus, prompted by love, held him to the cross. You know, the cross here is a reminder to us, although this one is not bloodstained, it should be. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed away all of our sins. In fact, God's word says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And that bloodstained cross serves a reminder to us every single day of the forgiveness that that man died to give. For Roger, his first polishing in the Christian faith came in the baptismal font about 12 blocks that way at Calvary Lutheran Church. When his father Thomas and his mother Carolyn brought little infant Roger to that font on March the 24th of 1940, and the pastor said those words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit," Roger was ushered into the family of God, and that process of washing away the rough edges and that crusty interior had taken place. He became a child of God. It was, 15 years later, he stood before that very same altar. And this time with his own voice, he confessed his faith before that congregation that he believed that Jesus Christ to be his Redeemer, his Savior from sin. And Roger's polishing continued all the way up to the point of his death as he received the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ under the bread and wine upon the altar in the Lord's Supper. As he received words of holy absolution, God continued to wash those sins away and encourage him and strengthen him day by day by day. Forgiven, indeed. But today I'm reminded of another family that mourned the death of a loved one by the name of Lazarus. It also involved a rock, actually a very large rock. The text says, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus says, 'Take away the stone.' And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" This summer, as his body is laid to rest, there'll be a stone there as well. It'll mark the final resting place of Roger Thomas Simmons with the dates that are appropriate. But you know the thing of it is, that grave can't hold him any more than Lazarus' grave held him. Because on that last day, when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ will rise, and for those that are in the faith, you will see him with your own eyes. It is glorious. You know, the last time I saw Roger was a week ago Sunday. And for whatever, he was at the voters' assembly. And Roger's a man of detail. And my wife is the recording secretary for the church, and so I have to proof her minutes all the time. But Roger found a mistake. The mistake was we spelled the word ballot wrong. It was actually spelled ballet in the minutes. And Roger says, "Where are you going to have the ballet here at Emmanuel?" Well, Roger, today you are in the presence of Christ, no longer hampered by a walker and failing health, but I'd like to think dancing. Although I really don't want to imagine that. I want to think dancing. Dancing for joy. And waiting for that day when Christ returns victorious and calls us all home. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.